Good morning and happy St. Patrick's Day 2024. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. And so it is. Whoever you are, whatever path brought you here today, please know that you are welcome. We know who you are. You are an individualized expression of the divine life in which we all live. Whatever your ethnicity, background, religious affiliation, however you know yourself or describe yourself, your pronouns of gender identities, we are glad you're joining us here today. You're welcome to be a part of this community in whatever way serves you. We are a strong, open, globally connected community centered on the clarity of principle through teaching, service, and practice. We create a safe and respectful environment that supports a healthy spiritual growth. For better understanding who we are and what we teach, listen to how our Declaration of Principles, as written by our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love
and creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life
and the immortality of the individual soul
forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So it is. So a practitioner is someone who has demonstrated the ability to use spiritual practice and spiritual law to bring about great changes in their lives. They've demonstrated that they know how to bring about these changes in others when asked. Licensed by Centers for Spiritual Living, they are available to you to provide spiritual guidance and support in those areas where you are looking for assistance. You may contact them through the website, cslmidtown.org. Today, we have one of our wonderful practitioners with us to share good ideas and an affirmative prayer called a spiritual mind treatment. Welcome, Norma Roberts.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. You know, a message I found in the Daily Word states that every moment of every day brings the opportunity for new choices. It's the freedom to choose what I think, say, and do. It can be very liberating, the freedom to choose what I think, say, and do. On the other hand, though, the options for how to live my life may sometimes seem overwhelming. Should I move to another city? Or should I change my employment? How can I serve humanity? From everyday events to major life changes, I have important choices to make. If I rely solely on my mind to endlessly weigh pros and cons, I may feel lost in a sea of possibilities or even probabilities. But instead, I remember to turn to my internal guidance system. I know God's guidance is always available to me. And as I contemplate major life choices, I move from my head to my heart. I pray and I patiently wait for the still small voice within, and I let God be God. And then I am assured that Spirit always guides me to my highest good. And so now, let's go into our spiritual mind treatment by just taking a deep, calming breath. Close your eyes if you like. Just be with me here in spirit. And as I speak in the first person, I speak as each person within the sound of my voice. I invite you to join me in knowing for yourself the words that are spoken. I know there is but one life. That life is God. And that life is my life right here and right now. As I accept the truth that there is only one power with infinite possibilities of ever-expanding love and goodness, I release anything that disturbs me. Every anxious thought is stilled. Nothing irritates or accepts me. For I am poised and centered in the mind of God. I place all circumstances of my life lovingly in God's care. And there I let God be God. I have faith that only good shall come to me. And I know that good and more good is mine. There is no limit to the good that God has in store for me. When I have done all that I can do, when fear for loved ones has harried me, when my courage has faltered and the words of the day crowded in on me, when I wonder how I can make another step, a smile, another smile, I take a moment to be still and listen to the voice of God within me and know I am that I am. I may not know what the future holds for me, yet I do know that good waits for me in the unknown, for God is there. Wherever I am, God's Spirit is within me and goes before me to prepare my way. I believe, accept, and expect guidance in all that I do by my infinite mind. I affirm my body is still and centered. I expand my awareness to my perfect expression of the truth as life, light, love, peace, power, beauty, and joy. Feeling my oneness with all that is. Spirit shines through me, restoring peace to my soul and blessing my world. I am serene and in perfect harmony as I know that in truth, all is well in my world, and I am grateful. As I release my word to the law of mine, I know that all is well, for mine always says yes. And I am at peace and filled with joy. As together we say, and so it is.
So our speaker today, Cynthia Paulson, was recently ordained as a religious science minister after more than a decade of studying the science of mind, affirmative prayer, and spiritual healing. She's also a divine science spiritual practitioner and teacher, as well as the author of Undoing the Knots, Reclaiming Our Good. She's a popular guest speaker who loves teaching about all aspects of new thought. So join me in welcoming Reverend Cynthia Paulson.
Good morning. Thank you, Vance. Always a pleasure to be here with you, CSL Midtown, all the way from Brookings, Oregon. That's where I am today. So I don't know who came up with the topic for today's talk, but it is a really fun one. And I'm so happy that I am the one who gets to dive into this with you. We're talking about, well, how brilliant human beings are, divine human beings, with our ability and our tendency to use our intelligence, to use the mental tools that we have available to us, how we use our minds to solve problems and figure out all kinds of things. We humans are very good at solving problems. We're pretty good at creating problems too, but that's a talk for another day. My husband and I, we love to watch the History Channel, and you know, we're kind of nerds, and they produce these really like great mini documentary shows that are really easy to just get sucked into. And they show you how humans used to live, you know, how far we've come as a collective. So you see the ways that human beings have solved problems and invented things and made these great discoveries that have changed the course of the world and positively impacted humanity. There is just so much that we take for granted living in modern times. So, for instance, let's talk about a few of these. This might not be where your mind goes if immediately when you think about the world's greatest inventions and greatest advancements in history, but I, for one, am a big fan of indoor plumbing. Yes, let's just start there. So think about that for a minute. Having to get up in the middle of the night on a cold winter's night to go outside to the outhouse to go to the bathroom. No, thank you. Someone thought of that idea. In fact, it's a man named John McAdam who made the modern plumbing system, the sewer system, and the modern toilet. Yes, I'm talking about toilets in my talk today, sorry. He worked on that problem and he figured it out. Brilliant. Thank you, John McAdam, right? Okay, so there's one example. The other day, out here in Oregon, we had a big windstorm with rain, and a wind was like 75 miles an hour. And a whole bunch of trees and power lines were knocked down, including a power line on our street. So we woke up and we had no power, no electricity. And this went on all day long. And I thought I was going to lose my mind after just a few hours. And we were starting to look for our flashlights and our candles because this was before the time change. And it was going to get dark soon. Now, fortunately, the power came back on before it got dark. But people used to live like that without electricity and light. So that meant that the darkening of the evening sky meant the darkening of your home. I guess you just go to bed at sunset, right? Well, electricity has only been available in our homes for about 100 years, and that is not very long. And we use it so much for everything. So thank you to the divine human beings, people like Benjamin Franklin, Alessandro Volta, who I learned, that's why batteries are measured in volts. It's from his name, Volta. Michael Faraday, Thomas Edison, Nikola Tesla. I'm sure there were others. Thank you for discovering, inventing, and cultivating the power of electricity for the good of humanity. Brilliant. You know, I mentioned those History Channel shows, and we got sucked into one once about the Civil War. And it was showing and talking about how doctors would have to amputate somebody's leg with no anesthesia. Like, oh, you can't, I just can't. And they didn't even know back then that they should wash their hands before they did something like that to try to prevent infection. No antibiotics back then. We've only had antibiotics for about 100 years too. Thank you, Alexander Fleming, for that invention. You may have heard this story. He returned home from a vacation and came home to discover that mold was growing on a petri dish of bacteria. And he noticed that the mold was preventing the bacteria around it from growing and spreading. Bam, brilliant, antibiotics, an ingenious use of his intellect and human wisdom. there was a time when the internet as we know it and use every day did not exist. We are all using it right now in this very moment, right? The World Wide Web of Communication. Remember when we called it that? That was invented in 1989 by Tim Berners-Lee. And it was originally intended for sharing information between scientists and universities. It was only released to the public in the early 1990s. That was only like 30, 35 years ago. The level of connectivity that we all have now because of his brilliant idea is incredible. This last example I want to share, I actually stumbled upon accidentally a few weeks ago. I was scrolling somewhere around social media, I'm sure, and I came upon a video with Sanjay Gupta, who is the medical correspondent for CNN, and he was interviewing a man who had ALS, and he had lost the use of his arms, and he was losing the use of his legs, and he would likely eventually lose his ability to speak and communicate. That's how ALS progresses, and there's currently no cure for it. So this man's neurosurgeon implanted something called a stentrode into his brain. And it's a mesh wire with electrode sensors that detect brain activity. In other words, it detects his thoughts. And the sensors then translate the thought, and then they transmit it. It went like down his, in his neck, and it came down, and there was like a device sitting on his shoulder, on his chest right here, and that would transmit the information of his thought to either his cell phone or his computer. It made it so this man can send text messages and use his computer using his thought only. No hands, no voice. It was mind-blowing. Like, this is happening right now. It seems like science fiction to me. Those doctors are working so hard trying to figure out ways that people with ALS can function. As I said, there's still no cure for ALS, but they're working to make it so patients will be able to communicate with their loved ones for as long as possible when dealing with that disease. Absolutely amazing. So there's a whole bunch of examples, right? These great inventions and advancements. How did all these advances happen? How were these inventions discovered or created? What did they all have in common? They all happened through a human mind. That's the only way anything happens. All of these inventions are a direct result of human beings solving problems for us, using their minds, getting an idea and figuring out how to make it work. Now, from a spiritual perspective, from a new thought, science of mind perspective, we know that there is only one mind, one universal mind, that the wisdom and intelligence and creativity of that one mind expresses individually through human beings. It expresses in them, through them, and as them. So these ideas, these inventions, these amazing advances for humanity are from spirit. We understand this. We understand that we, all of us individually, are hooked up with the one mind of God. We are not the one mind, but as Ernest Holmes said over and over again, we use the one mind. That is really what is going on in these incredible moments of intelligence and inspiration. Now, I do want to acknowledge and say that most of us in our daily lives are probably not solving huge problems that are impacting all of humanity. Most of us aren't inventing toilets or electricity or working as a neurosurgeon. But a problem can be anything that we deal with as a human being, anything that we might want insight about, or anything that we want to create, anything for which we want an idea or an answer or a solution. So the truth is that insights, ideas, answers, solutions are always possible, because all things are possible in the one universal mind of God, to which we all have access. This is some cool stuff to think about, right? So here's a question for you. What is happening when we as human beings can't solve a problem? What's going on there? When we are trying so hard and we are frustrated and we can't seem to figure it out. I think that is when being spiritually aware, having faith, trusting in our oneness with the one mind is so important. In fact, I think it's crucial. When we say and affirm and declare, there's only one mind, that mind is God, and that mind is my mind now, that is speaking truth that we can trust in. And what that means is we don't have to spin our wheels and get frustrated and fight and struggle in our human problems. In fact, we probably shouldn't struggle and get frustrated. I'm convinced that there's a second part to all of this. Our faith is really important. Our understanding of spiritual principle, our trust, very important. But I believe the other step to this is the ability to walk away. I think a lot of those inventors I just mentioned, a lot of really brilliant people out there in the world understand this second step. Albert Einstein, for instance, arguably one of the most brilliant minds in the world, had a famous quote. Thanks for putting that up. The quote goes like this: I think 99 times and find nothing. I stop thinking, swim in the silence, and the truth comes to me. Okay, let's break that down for a minute here. I think 99 times. In other words, he is working on his problem over and over and over again, trying to solve it. And find nothing. Anyone would be frustrated at that point, even Albert Einstein. I stop thinking. He chooses to stop thinking about the problem altogether. Well, what does he do instead? I swim in the silence. He walks away and does something else, something in the silence. Maybe he goes off to meditate. Who knows? Maybe he literally goes for a swim. I personally don't think it matters what he did. The truth comes to me. He receives his answer from the one mind of spirit. The truth, the solution he is seeking, is revealed. This idea that Einstein is talking about, the walking away to chill out in the silence, is what Emmett Fox called the law of relaxation. He insisted that all mental work, and what is mental work but problem solving? In all mental work, effort defeats itself. He said, when you try to force things mentally, you stop your creative power. That felt like an aha moment. I'm going to say that again. When you try to force things mentally, you stop your creative power. In fact, he suggested, stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is. Be relaxed, gentle, and unhurried, because effort defeats itself. So there's something to be said for this walk away strategy, right? There's something to be said for turning away from the problem, distracting yourself, and relaxing. Writer's block is a type of human problem. I've written and published a book, and I'm currently working on my second book, and I can say that writer's block is a real thing. It really is. Sometimes you just get stuck, and you don't know what to write next, right? One of my favorite fiction authors is Elizabeth Berg, and she wrote a nonfiction book about writing called Escaping in the Open, The Art of Writing True. And in it, she had this to say about writer's block. I once sat for a long time in front of my computer trying to think of a way to start an article I had to write. I stared out the window and watched the trees move and the wind and thought, and nothing came. Finally, I gave up and turned off my computer. I decided to go for a walk and give up on writing for the day. Except when I went for a walk, something in me woke up. We know what that something is. It's spirit. I saw wonderful things, groups of pastel flowers at the edge of the road, gigantic cumulus clouds, a doe standing still as a statue, grass hanging out the sides of her mouth like whiskers. When I got home, I went back to the computer and wrote with ease. All I had needed was a psychic change of position. So she put the problem down. She walked away from it, quite literally went and took a walk. The answer she needed was revealed to her. It's a great demonstration of spiritual law. Spirit within us always knows the answer. Now, oh dear, I have a personal story to share with you as an example of this. And it's a little embarrassing. We all know that sometimes people deal with things in their private life and we don't even know about it. So I am admitting here on YouTube Live and Facebook Live and the Zoom that I have an addiction. I am addicted to my cellular device, my phone. Yep. Cell phone addiction is real. Many of us deal with this in varying degrees, different levels of severity. So specifically, what I am addicted to on my cell phone is a particular app that is a game. Yeah, I'm addicted to a game. I said it. It's true. So here's the deal. It's a game. If you know, I love words. I love writing. I'm always playing with words. Love it, love it, love it. And I'll tell you the name of the game, but don't download it because I don't want to take responsibility for anybody else being addicted to this game. Okay. It's called Wordscapes. Wordscapes. Okay. So the way this game works is it gives you a circle full of jumbled letters. Okay. Just jumbled up random letters. The objective, your job, is to find and create words out of these letters. Okay. And you, as you find the words, it fills in like a blank crossword thing that's above the letters. Okay. Inevitably, what happens from time to time is I can't figure out what the last word is in the puzzle. The whole crossword's all filled in and there's one word left. Can't figure out what it is. You know, so I'm shuffling them. They let you like spin the letters around, shuffling the letters over and over. I'm trying to see the word. What is the word? Can't seem to see it. And I get very frustrated because I want to keep playing. I want to go on to the next level because I told you I'm addicted. This is my real life, okay? So what do I do when this happens? I used to get really frustrated. I kept trying and I would keep trying and I would get angry. I don't do that anymore because I understand the spiritual principle that we're talking about today. I know the solution to the puzzle is there somewhere. I'm just not seeing it. So what I do is I turn it off. I close out the app and I get off my phone. I need you to understand how challenging that is for someone who has this kind of addiction. It's so hard to say, I can't seem to solve this and I'm getting frustrated. And then put the thing down and go do something else. Anything. Sometimes I'll go bother my husband for a while and see what he's doing. Sometimes I'll go take a walk in nature like Elizabeth Berg wrote about. Sometimes we'll take the dog to the beach, or I'll go get a snack, or I'll fix some tea. I find something else to do. I shift my attention away from the problem. What I'm here to tell you is, when I come back later, whether it's 10 minutes later or an hour later or several hours later, and I open up the app on my phone, I see the missing word immediately. 100% of the time, that's what happens. That is not an exaggeration. It works every single time. This principle demonstrates. This is a very silly example. I admit that. It is unimportant and inconsequential. Who cares about a dumb app on my phone, a word puzzle game? It means nothing to anyone. It works consistently because spirit is always consistent. Spiritual law is always spiritual law, and it can be applied to absolutely anything. We know the law works no matter how big or small the demonstration, because there is no big or small in spirit. There are only solutions. For instance, okay, remember way back when you first discovered New Thought Principles and you learned about prosperity and specifically manifesting money. You were told that spirit doesn't know the difference between manifesting $5 and $5,000. And it blew your mind. The principle is the same. Spirit doesn't care whether you are healing a paper cut on your finger or a terminal illness. The principle is the same. Spirit doesn't care whether you're trying to solve a very silly word puzzle game on your phone or trying to fill in the blank. Cure cancer, end world hunger, create world peace. The principle is the same. Are solutions to these huge problems of humanity possible? All things are possible. Can those solutions come through a human mind? That's how this works, right? That's how spirit shows up in the world with solutions. So our call to action today, or our takeaway for the day, is to remember it's a two-step process. Step one is trust that there is a divine solution available to you. Ernest Holmes told us the answer to every human problem already exists in the mind of God. He also said divine guidance is ours for the asking. So we may not know the answer, but spirit within us knows. It's having that childlike level of acceptance that God always knows what to do. And we can ask for the revelation of that answer. That is step one. Step two is when frustration and confusion, irritation and anger set in, walk away. We have to recognize when it is time to shift our attention away from the problem and stop thinking about it. That can be very challenging because that's a free will thing. You know, we have to make that choice and perform that task. You may be asking yourself, well, how will I know when it's time to walk away from the problem? Here's what I think is helpful, is I try to remind myself that frustration and confusion and irritation and anger are not in alignment with our God source. God can't be any of those things. So we know that when we're feeling like that, something's off. That's when we know it's time to back off, walk away, and trust in our guidance from spirit. I don't necessarily think it matters what we do when we walk away. Now, of course, I'd love to say, walk away and go read the Science of Mind textbook. Sure, you can, and it's wonderful. But you don't necessarily have to. I'd love to say, go meditate and commune with the divine. Of course, you can do that, and that's wonderful. But you can also just go for a walk. You can also just go take a nap. I'm sure you all know who Esther Hicks is. She wrote the Law of Attraction book and channels Abraham and her work. And she is known for saying, if you're confused, take a nap. If you're angry, take a nap. Don't try to figure anything out from those lower vibrations, she says. Those low vibration feelings are not God vibration. You know, they're not the high vibration where you would be able to access a divine solution. So don't knock walking away to take a nap, to reset yourself. So the last thing I want to leave you with is this is something that I am really taking to heart these days. And that is, divine guidance comes to the person who expects it. Divine guidance comes to the person who expects it. As I said, I'm working on my next book, and I am fully expecting divine guidance, wisdom, and inspiration with regard to that project. So I have been saying this information that I'm going, I have been saying this affirmation that I'm going to share with you. And I offer this to you as a gift. So in this moment, please think about any problem or situation that you may be experiencing and dealing with in your life that you might like guidance for or a solution for. And just repeat after me. I expect divine guidance. I may not know how to solve this, but I know Spirit does. I am ready to receive my divine answer. And so it is. Thank you so much for having me. Please join me on the Zoom after the service. You can see us in person and chat with us. It's always fun. And if you're shy or, you know, in your jammies and you don't want your camera on, that's okay. You don't have to have your camera on. Come chat with us. The link is on the CSLMidtown.org website. Thank you, CSL.
Thank you, Reverend Cynthia. What an amazing talk today. So, yeah. And we'll see you over on Zoom. Now is the time for us to give back. As if you will say our affirmation of prosperity with me, I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. You can give on the website, cslmidtown.org/donate, or scan the QR code. It will take you right there to the site to do that. So we appreciate every one of you for being here and contributing and helping us. And now I'm going to turn it over to our board president, Lee Huffman.
Thank you, Vance. And thank you, Reverend Cynthia, for such a, as Vance said, an amazing talk today. Norma, what a meaningful spiritual mind treatment. Just thank you, everybody, Diego and others behind the scenes that make this broadcast happen each week. For those of you that would like to speak with Reverend Cynthia more, she's on the Zoom going there, but wait till after the announcements. You can join us for the discussion, and I'll let you know how to connect there again at the end of the announcements. So as you know, we're going through a great transition process here at Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. We have some fantastic discussions around the topic, and the transition team is working very hard on your behalf to bring great speakers like Cynthia and others to these sessions and to our celebrations. And we're making other things happen in the community as well. Starting in April, we're going to be looking for members of a new minister selection team. The members of this team do not have to be located in Atlanta. We decided that last week. We want people online because we're an online community. We're all over the world. We're not just CSL Midtown Atlanta. We're CSL Midtown wherever you are. And so the team will be made up of two regular members, two practitioners, two board members, and myself as the president of the board of the trustees. So there's a lot of steps that we need to happen along the way, and we're going to put the team together in the next couple of months. And we expect that it'll be 2025 before we have a full-time minister on board. That's just how the process works. And if you have interest in becoming part of the selection team, please send a message to info@cslmidtown.org. And in the meantime, you can help the center in several different ways. First, treat or pray for the center, and that we might prosper and grow, and we can remain online and move forward with our plans for the new senior minister as soon as possible. Offer up spiritual mind treatments daily for the members of the transition team and the selection team and the board and the practitioners, that we might all be guided by divine wisdom as we make our decisions. And second, we need to increase our giving by a little bit, honestly. A monthly total increase of just $2,500 will allow us to continue our online ministry with full-time minister. And if we can double that, we can bring on other things, like including going back to meetings, both online and in person every week, and maybe even a children's ministry or a young adult ministry, which would be fantastic. We've had those at the center before COVID, and it's time to get back to that. So if you're already giving, thank you. Please keep it up. If you're not giving already, or if you can afford to increase your giving, anywhere, whatever you can give, $25 a week, $100 a week, give what you can, and the universe will take care of you and the center as well. And third, invite your friends and family to join us. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, please like and repost our services this week. And if you're not on there right now, go out there after you come and speak with Cynthia and others online. You are really our best marketing channel, and word of mouth is what makes the center work. So speaking of the new member selection team, we're going to be looking for community members. So please, again, if you're interested, send information to us at info@cslmidtown.org. And if you have questions, you can send them to me at president@cslmidtown.org. And you need to have completed the foundations class or an equivalent of that. We're going to get the final criteria in about 2 weeks. And then you need to be a member of the center right now. And we're going to be going through a number of amazing activities. Next week, come along. The following activities are going on. Next Tuesday from 12 noon to 12:30, you can speak with a practitioner as a group through our Zoom link, which I'll get to in a moment. Then Sunday, please join us from 10 to 10:50. It's the adult study group with an in-depth discussion on religious science, new thought, and other topics. And it's amazing, led by the practitioners. And then next Sunday, come join us online for our celebration service. Reverend Dr. Michelle Whittington will be with us, and we'll continue our focus on the month on the talk. And the theme for the week will be new. Now, what's next? Okay, you can all get to these meetings and to the discussion right now with Reverend Cynthia by going to cslmidtown.org, scroll down where it says Zoom. Be sure to note the 6-digit code under the Zoom link, and then click on the icon, and you'll be prompted for that code. So we hope to see you there. I'll be there shortly. And have a wonderful week. And as we close, join me in the closing affirmation. I leave this place now, knowing something better than what I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you all.